Man, we are believing God's best for you, and the best for you is to come to Discovery Class. So be a part of that. How many attended last time? Raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. Hey, be a part of that. Consider just coming. Be a part of that. Holly and I teach that class, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. It's about a three-week class, and you'll be blessed. I know it's a little early in the morning, but come out to that and be blessed. And then plug into one of our discovery groups because they're growing. We've got some groups or some new groups I'm hearing in coming up, and I'm excited about them. And so it's going to be a blessing, and we just praise the Lord for you this morning. Turn to somebody this morning and say, you look marvelous, darling. Would you do that? Amen. And while you're doing that, would you stand this morning and would you turn over to Amos chapter 9? And we're going to look at verses 13 through 15. I'm reading this from the Message Bible. And so I was in Branson. That's where we had the conference. And I have a dear, dear friend of mine. In fact, about 10 years ago, maybe somewhere in that vicinity, he called me up one day and he said, hey, man, Pastor Steve, he is the epitome of cool. And he said, hey, man, he said, man, I hear about this grace message. He said, I just don't know. And he was a Rhema graduate. And he said, can I have lunch with you? And I said, yeah, man, come on, have lunch. So he came, and we had lunch together, and I expounded the grace message. And, man, I could just see all this turning over in his head, right? Like, wow, this is just awesome, you know? And he said, man, this is almost too good to be true. And he's been in ministry for years. And so he said, you know, got in his car and on his way back home, you know, he was praying, and he said, man, God gave me the revelation. And so he was one of the speakers at the Grace Conference. So he got up, and he used this verse. And he said, hey, I heard Joseph Prince use this verse this year. And I looked at him, I got with him afterwards. I said, man, this is my verse this year. He said, no, it's my verse. I said, no, it's my verse. He said, no, it's my verse. I said, no, man. It is my verse. I'm telling you right now, this is our verse. I had this, and I said, I don't know about Joseph, but I'm in good company right now, because I said, we're all together. So this is a great verse. So we're going to read it this morning. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God decrees. It's not going to be long now. How many believe that? Amen. Because what's happening? Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And here's what it is. It's not bad. It's good happening. And everywhere you look, blessings. Wow. Man, somebody needs to get a hold of that. Just celebrate that right there. Everywhere you look, blessings. Can you give God some praise for that right there? Amen. And then he says, blessings like wine pouring out of the mountains and the hills. Wine is the symbol of joy, so it's going to be such joy in our life. It makes everything right again for my people Israel. God is putting everything right again. Don't be looking at this present world. This present world is in chaos. I want to remind you, we're not citizens of this present world. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we're at. Amen. He said, then I'll rebuild the ruined cities. He's talking about restoration. They'll plant vineyards and drink good wine. They will work their gardens and eat fresh vegetables. And I will plant them on their own land. They will never again, next verse, they will never again be uprooted from the land I give them. God, your God, says so. God, your God, says so. Hold up your Bibles this morning, and let's say it like we mean it today. Come on, say it with Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, this is your year. Would you do that? This is your year, amen. It is a year, we're declaring the year of restoration. That God wants to restore anything the enemy has ripped off from you. God wants to restore this year. So if it's finances, if it's health, if it's family relationships, God is wanting to restore this year. And this scripture tells us, and when I hear a scripture like this, I don't know about you, but I grab hold of it. I get it down in my spirit. I get, you know, just thinking about it and meditating about it, because I understand that, you know, I want to get the full revelation, the full benefit of what God is speaking. So I don't let something like this just pass by my ears. I grab it and I make it mine. I declare it's mine. Amen. And if God said it and it's good, it's mine. It's mine. And that's why I look at it. So God wants to restore. Amen. He is going to send his blessings. His blessings are in you, and his blessings are going to awaken to you, amen? And we're going to see these things coming to pass, amen? We're going to see the unseen manifested in our lives. We're going to see, listen to me, we're going to see what we're believing for, what we have been believing for, manifested in our lives. He's going to do a quick thing in these last days. I believe we are living in the last days. I believe we are there. I am seeing God do so much through this grace. I don't want to call it grace movement, because we had the Jesus movement back in the 70s, but it is a Jesus thing. I want to tell you that. And God is doing, and God is just bringing so much light to people's lives and changing their life. Amen. So how do we see these things manifested? I'm glad you asked that. Thank you. How do we see these things manifested? We see these things manifested through faith. Faith is the vehicle that manifests, listen to me, that manifests everything that is in grace. Grace has provided everything we need. We know that, right? Grace has provided. You've been here for a while. You heard my teaching. You know this. Grace has provided everything we need. It's in our spirit already. And faith manifests what grace has provided. Amen? We already have faith. We're not trying to get faith. We are faith people. Faith is in us. But we need to know how to employ our faith. It's not us working, it's our faith working. And we need to know how to employ, how to hire our faith and send it out for us to work, so that we can see the unseen being manifested in the seen. Oh, come on, somebody, amen? Faith is a supernatural taking place within our lives. And when we operate in faith, we're no longer operating in the natural realm, what we see. We're operating in the supernatural realm, what we don't see, yet know that it's there, and we believe it is going to manifest in our life. So when you're operating in faith, you're always operating in the supernatural. Amen? You can't see an atom with the naked eye. But if you're able to take an atom and split it, it's the most powerful thing in the universe. There's something more powerful than an atom. That is the faith of God in you activated. Oh, come on, somebody. Look at Hebrews 11:1. We looked at this, and we're going to go back in this, because here's the thing about the Word. When you get in the Word and you start getting that Word in you, and you start meditating on the Word, it becomes yours. It's like the enemy cannot come and rip it from you, because you know it is yours. It is yours, and you live in it, and you feed on it, and you rejoice around it, and you celebrate it, and you see things happen in your life just automatically, because the Word is hidden in your heart. So Hebrews 11:1, now faith is, faith is not in the past, faith is not in the present, faith is in the now. It's always in the now, because our needs are in the now, right? Faith now, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we have hope, the expectation of good. So faith puts us into the area and the arena that we have a expectation of good and not bad. Some people only have an expectation of bad. Just turn on the news. I mean, it's like, man, no, don't turn on the news. Get in the good news. Not the bad news. Come on, somebody. I mean, all this stuff going on. Somebody said the other day, I don't even have to watch the news to know what's going on because people will talk about the bad news. I'd rather talk about the good news. This is a good news place. We believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. And faith puts us in a place of expecting good instead of bad. So we had a tornado warning go off at 3 o'clock in Fishers this morning. I said, you ain't coming near my dwelling. I said, get out of here in the name of Jesus. They ain't having it. Man, you know, why? Because I know God's got good for me. Turn to somebody and say, God's got good for me. Come on, God's got good for you. And the evidence, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen? Hope is the expectation of good. Faith is the evidence. Our faith is evidence. When you call a jury together and they're in court, the lawyer will present evidence and saying, this is the evidence that is usually against this person, or this is the evidence that is for this person. But faith is our evidence, amen, of things not seen. Evidence is proof of something. Your faith is proof of what you don't see, but what you are believing for and expecting in hope. So my faith is my evidence, hallelujah, or it's my proof of something, amen? Faith is the proof of things not seen, and hope is the expectation of good in faith. Because God's only got good for me, amen? So how does faith work? How do we employ our faith to work to see the manifestation? Let me ask you this morning. How many of you are believing for something in your life that you've been believing for a while? Raise your hand if you are. I believe every one of us has something in our life that we are believing for. So there was a young lady at the conference, and she was just a real cute young lady. And, you know, we were going around, we were sharing, and she said, I'm believing for a man. I'm believing God's going to send me a godly man in my life. And you know what Pastor said, right? I said, I'm believing with you for a man with a tan and a Bible in his hand. And she's like, oh, man, Pastor, that's awesome. And I'm saying, well, that's what I'm believing for. And so, you know, God, whatever you're believing for, I believe we can see the manifestation of what you're believing for. And the way we receive the manifestation is we employ faith. We put faith out there. Come on, somebody. So how does faith work? Well, let's look. Galatians 5:6. This is how faith works. For in Christ Jesus, Paul writing, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith works through love. Everybody say, faith works. Faith works. How does faith work? Faith works through love. Faith works through God's love. You want to know why so many Christians don't see the manifestation of what they're believing for? Because they don't believe God unconditionally loves them. And if you don't believe God unconditionally loves you, then you base your relationship with God not in faith, but you base your relationship with God in condition. In other words, you know, he loves me sometimes, but sometimes he doesn't love me. If I do good, God loves me. If I do bad, God doesn't love me. That is not how faith works. Faith works in God's unconditional love for us, because when we know God unconditionally loves us, then faith excels in our life because there's no condemnation, no shame, and no fear around. Woo! Amen. But so many people, so many believers don't know what you probably know this morning. You know that God loves you unconditionally. How do you know that? Well, pastor's been preaching it for a while, but you, I believe, you open up the Word of God and you see that God loves me, amen, and I am the disciple that Jesus loves. In fact, God loves me more than you all. Turn to somebody and say, God loves me more than you. Come on, I dare you. Say, God loves me more than you. You've got to have that type of revelation on God's love. You've got to know that God loves you so much, amen, that he is so pleased with you, and not because of you, but because of Jesus in you. That's how come he loves you so much, is because his son is living in you. He knows the number of hairs you have on your head. How much does God love you? Have you ever sat down and counted? How many have children? How many have children? Wow. How many have grandchildren? Oh, they're the best. Amen. I love you, Kay. Amen. They're awesome. Let me ask you this. Be honest with me. How many of you ever sat down and counted the number of hairs on your child's head? How many have ever done that? Anybody ever done that before? Come on, raise your hand. Anybody? So you don't think enough of your kid to sit down and count their hair? Come on. How much does God think of you? That he knows how many number of hairs you have on your... Well, some of us, right, brother? I love you, man. You look good, brother. I'm sorry, you look good, man. Some of us, right? But he knows how much you have. That's how much God loves you. I love my children. I think I have the best girls in the world. Don't mess with my girls. You say, don't mess with my wife, my girls, and my dog. But I don't have a dog any longer, so I miss that dog. Amen. But I have never sat down and said, hey, baby, come here. I'm going to count the hairs on your head. But God knows you that much. That is an amazing love. You too, bro. You look good too, man. I'm just saying, man. You look good, man. These guys can get away with it. I can never get away with that, man. But you guys look good. Amen. Listen to me. Faith works by love. And the reason believers don't see a manifestation greater in their life because they're basing God's love on a condition. But God doesn't want that for you. Amen. When we understand how good God is and how much he loves us and how much he really wants to bless us, do you know that God really wants to bless you? Come on, I'm the only one. Do you know God really wants to bless you? How many know that God really wants to bless you? How many know it's God's desire to bless you? How many know it's God's desire to bless you? How many know it's God's desire to give you the delight of your heart? He wants to give you good things. Amen? I was telling somebody the other day, I said, a lot of people drive different vehicles, right? And a friend of mine, he's getting a brand new Tesla. He's got it on order. He's getting a Tesla electrical vehicle. And I told him, I said, man, I drive a Jeep. I said, I believed for a Jeep for many years. I said, I was in a church in Florida. I was believing for a Jeep. And they had a pastor appreciation day, and they knew I loved to fly fish, right? And so I enjoy that. So at the end of service, one of the guys in church came up and he brought a case, a rod case, and he presented this rod case to me, right? And I said, man, thank you. I said, I've got a new fly rod. I said, this is awesome. So I opened up the case, opened it up and take it out and put it together. So I opened it up in church, and the place was pretty packed out, and I opened it up and I pulled out the first end and, started to pull out the second end. I pulled out the second end, there's a key on it. And he says, congratulations, Pastor, you got a Jeep sitting out front. I didn't say, hey, go and buy me a Jeep. I didn't say that. They knew I loved Jeeps. Didn't have a Jeep at the time. I think it was a Buick, and it was so old that the top of the liner was falling down, and it was terrible. Now, we lived in Naples, Florida, and Kay was in high school. And it was some of the best times of my life, of driving my daughter to school in the morning and talking. But she was, and now you have to understand Naples, per capita in Naples, there's more millionaires in Naples than anywhere in the United States. And it's a very small community. Larry Bird has a place there. Michael Jordan just bought a golf course down there so he can play golf when he wants to. So, just wealth. And so kids down there her age were pulling up in their Beamers, in their Mercedes, you know, and all these things. And here comes Dad in this old Buick with the liner hanging down, rusted out, you know. That's not, listen to me, that is not a good way to represent the gospel. I'm just saying, right? So she finally started talking to me. She said, Dad, can you drop me off a little further from the door? Dad, you know. So this church was so good to us. And I walked out, and they had a Jeep, man. It was white. It had the top was down. They had it all dialed up, man. It was just, I'm like, man, Lord, you are so good. Kay, the next day I brought her to church, she said, Dad, you can drop me off right at the front door today. I'm like, okay, baby, that's cool. Let's do that, right? So, but God is good. Listen to me. I want to show you something. Look at Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. You know what God's righteous cause is? Jesus. That is his righteous cause. So let them shout. Can anybody shout for joy right now? Come on. Woo! Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God's got pleasure in blessing you. Because if you are putting his righteous cause, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. So God doesn't mind giving you what you desire in your heart. Just like my buddy getting a Tesla. God didn't mind him having a Tesla. I told him that it takes more faith to drive a Jeep than a Tesla. I said, because you go and you just plug in that Tesla, spend a few bucks plugging it in, maybe. I said, when I go up to the pump and I look at the pump, my faith is challenged. So I says, it takes more faith to drive a Jeep right now than it does a Tesla. And he just laughed at me, man. He's all pastor, man. You know, Psalm 84:11. Look at this. Psalm 84:11. I love this, Lord. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Isn't that awesome? The Lord will give grace, favor, and glory, manifestation of his grace. No good thing will he uphold from those who walk uprightly. God says, I don't want to withhold any good thing from you. So what you're believing for, I believe it's a good thing, and God says, I want to give it to you. Amen. And the way he gives it to us is when we walk in his love, faith is automatically working in our life. Oh, come on, amen? And here's the thing, man. Not only is faith employed by the love walk, but faith is employed by what we say. Right? Proverbs 18:21, death and life are where? In the what? In the power of the what? In the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit. So it is important what we say. What we say is vitally important in our faith walk, because many people don't line their mouth up with what they really believe and don't line their mouth up with the Word of God. And it's so important if what we're saying as well as the love in our life. Speak life over your situations. Speak life, not death. Call life to your children. Amen. Call abundant life to your children. Call abundance in your job. Call abundance and favor around you. Speak life and not death. Speak life over your body and not death. Oh, come on, somebody. Romans 4:17. Look what he says here. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, speaking of Abraham, in the presence of him whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead, life to the dead. God gives life to the dead. So if you've got a dead circumstance, God wants to bring life to that. God gives life to the dead. Your marriage feels like it's dead, God wants to bring life to your marriage. Your finances, God wants to bring life to your finances. Holly spoke of that little lemon tree that we had, that she was going to cast it out. And I said, no, let's not do that. Let's water it. Let's see what happens. Let's take care of it. And, you know, it's producing lemons, and the lemons are so good. They're sweet. Ever have a sweet lemon? They're sweet off of this tree. You know why it's sweet? Because it's in my house. Anything in my house is sweet. I'm talking about you, baby. So, can't tell I miss her, right? I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believe. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they, what? As though they what? As though they did. Amen? Abraham didn't get God's attention because he's living like a saint. Far from it, right, at times. He got God's attention because of his faith, because he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Amen? When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Amen. I want you to look at the message. We're going to look at the message right in Romans 4:17. We're going to start there. Can you put that up, the message? Man, that's small, but I'm going to read it. We call Abraham father, not because of God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Can anybody relate to that? Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God's saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life, with the word make something out of nothing when everything was hopeless. Abraham believed anyway. See, we want to put our faith out there if we can see it. That's not supernatural faith. If you can see it, that's natural faith, right? If you can't see it, it's supernatural. Give me a few more minutes this morning. Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw, he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. He lived on the basis of the word of God and the promises of God, not what he could do, because it was impossible in the natural for him to bear a child at that age. So he relied upon what God said and not what he saw. And he was made the father of a multitude of people. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Woo, man, you are so good. Amen. So if God calls those things that don't exist as though they did, shouldn't we? That is what we're supposed to do. That is what we're supposed to do. Quickly go to Mark 11 this morning. Mark 11. But the next day, he came out of Bethany. He was hungry, Jesus, on his way up to Jerusalem. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Now, it says, for it was not the season for leaves. Well, there are actually two seasons. And there's an early fig and a later fig. And scholars believe that this was the early fig and there should have been figs on this tree, right? So in response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. He spoke loud enough so the disciples heard it. Now, can you imagine being there as a disciple at this time, following Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, leaving out of Bethany, going up, you always go up to Jerusalem, and here Jesus is talking to a tree. Can you imagine Peter turning to John and said, man, I think he's flipped out, man. I don't know. Did we make the right choice following? did we really make the right choice here? What do you think, John? Man, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of weird. I've never seen that before. Wow. He spoke to the tree. Now listen to me. He spoke to the tree. If you start speaking in faith, people are going to think you're weird. And people speak all the time, but they don't speak in faith, right? So I had to take my Jeep in, my baby in, and get some work done on it, some extensive work. And so I drove it to Missouri. And so I got down to Missouri, and I was down there, and I was coming down a hill. It was Friday morning. I was getting ready to come back. I'd come back, went Thursday, come back, but earlier, came back on Friday. And I was going down a hill, and that same problem I heard in my ears, that I just spent quite a bit of money to get it repaired, right? You know what the first thing the enemy said to me? First thing he said to me was, you're already down here in Missouri, and you're going to have this problem. How are you going to get home by Saturday for Karis? That's the first thing that came into my mind. This thing's about ready to blow up. You know what the second thing came into my mind? In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this thing. I command this thing to work. People most of the time, you know what they do? They'll say this, well, that stupid car, I wish it would work. Have you ever cursed your computer? That stupid computer, what's wrong with this thing? Get it. Come on. Come on, anybody ever do that before? This iPhone, this thing is junk. What's going on with this thing? But you start speaking life to it, hey, iPhone, I command you in the name of Jesus to work. People will look at you. Computer, I command in the name of Jesus. You got to function right now. Right? Come on, you've got authority. You have authority, amen? Oh, come on, somebody, amen? It's amazing how that people are going to speak negative things all the time, but you start speaking life to something, people think you're weird. Well, I challenge you to start speaking life. Amen. Look, drop down to verse 20. Look at verse 20. What happened? Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, what? What happened when they spoke? There was seemingly no response. The tree looked the same. So you can really imagine their conversation as they were going. I didn't see anything change on that tree. When we employ faith, faith works, but not on our time. Faith works, amen? And sometimes it's like seed time harvest, right? And it's exactly what happened because Jesus didn't speak to the leaves of that tree. He spoke to the root of that tree. And that root, it took time to dry up that tree. Right? Now, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree, right? And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look how he was so surprised. Rabbi, woo, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, look at the next verse. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, the literal translation in Greek is have the faith of God. The faith of God speaks to situations and commands them to change. You have the faith of God in you. Look what he says next verse. For surely, everybody say assuredly. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this situation, this cancer, this heart problem, this knee problem, this hip problem, this mind problem, this marriage problem, whoever says to these things and to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes, has faith that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Wow. Next verse, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. You know what? You already got it. And you will what? So faith speaks. Faith calls. Faith calls. Amen? How many have a dog? Anybody have a dog in here? How many have a dog? How many wish you didn't have a dog? Come on, somebody. Dogs are great. I know there's cat lovers. You got to. But would you ever go out and call your dog, and you go out and he's out in the yard, and you want to call him in, and you go out and you say, "Here, kitty, 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 kitty." I would never do that. Sorry, I love you guys. Grace allows me to love you. I have cats, amen. But if you did that, you'd have every cat show up in the neighborhood, and your dog would be going like, "What's up with that, man? What's up? I thought she loved me, man. Look at this." That's not what you do. You specifically speak to that situation. Amen? So, David, come up here a second. Would you, brother? Do you mind? Yeah, come up. Amen. Faith, come on up here. I love faith. Faith. How could you not love faith? Faith. I love that. Faith, come up here. Hallelujah. Yeah. David, yeah. Christo, come on up here. Hello, brother. How many has met this young man? This is an awesome young man. Say hello to him if you haven't met him. So, hello. Praise God. He's come to our church, his family. He found us by grace. He loves grace. See here. Cosmin, coming up here. Praise the Lord. What y'all doing up here? What? Oh, I called you up here. So I called you and you came. So I called him by name. He was a little confused because we got a couple Daves here, right? So he can't hear so well. But even though he came, how's faith work just like that? You call through faith. You believe, you call, and you believe you're going to have a response. Did I have to beg them to get up here? No. I just called you and said, "Would you come up here?" And faith is standing here. So faith is here. Faith is here, right? So that's how faith works. And we make it so complicated. We just walk in God's love, and we call those things that are not. They weren't up here a few minutes ago, right? They weren't here. But we call those things that are not as though they are. So I called their name before they got here. But they came. And here they are this morning. Faith always speaks to that situation and calls those things that are not as though they are. Let's stand this morning. Give them a good hand. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. And what's so great is all guilt, well, we believe that it is. I believe as your pastor it is. I pray it is. If you haven't had the revelation, you need to get it. All guilt, condemnation, and shame has been removed. So it gives us the open door into the inner court, into the Holy of Holies with Jesus. We come to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment today. Isn't that awesome? It's the throne of grace. And because of that, we can call those things that are not as though they are, and expect and believe that we have them. Amen? So how many of you are believing for some things this morning? You raise your hand if you are. You're believing for some things. How many believe we can call it this morning? We can call it so. Amen? So this morning, you don't have to shout it out. This morning, I just want you to call some things forth. Would you do that, Pastor? Raise your hands this morning and just repeat after me. Jesus, thank you for your love for me, because I know faith is working in my life because you love me. You set your love upon me, Lord. I am the disciple that Jesus loves. Me. And today, I call those things that I've been believing for to come to pass in my life in the name of Jesus. I will see these things, come on, I will see these things manifested in my life. Things I've been believing for, some things for years, I'm believing they're going to be manifested in my life and in my body. Thank you, God. I have a word on it. Come on. Come on, somebody. Thank you, God. I have a word on it. I believe it. Therefore, I receive it, and it is mine. It is mine. I want you to shout out, it is mine. Come on. I want you to shout out, it is mine. Come on. Come on. It is mine. Come on, somebody. Healing is mine. Woo! Blessings are mine. I declare it. I decree it in the name of Jesus. Now, watch your believing for it. Watch you raise both hands right now and just speak to yourself and say, thank you, Lord. I have it in Jesus' name. Would you do that? Thank you, Lord. I have it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around, give somebody a high five this morning and say, I've got faith working in my life today. Amen.